Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Bree.
I'm Abby, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome back, Grey's babies. Thank you for being gracious and letting us be gone for a week. We are back, and it's a big brain episode coming at you. Lots of gore.
Yeah.
Netflix warned before I press play.
Yeah, and it's a great two-parter that beautifully fell together in our episodes, so it was meant to be. And yeah, can't wait to get into it. I really liked these episodes.
Me too. I have lots to say about it. And I also just wanted to do a plug. If this is your first time listening, we deep dive every episode of Grey's. We're currently in season 11, episode 13 and 14. And if one episode a week isn't good enough for you, you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be a resident, an intern, a resident, or an attending. And if you are a resident for $5 a month, you get bonus episodes. This month, we had my mother on the podcast, and we talked about her Grey's journey. It was really fun. It was really fun for me to have her there. She did so good. She was like a natural.
She really also was.
We had our Zoom meeting last week, which are really great. So if you want to feel like the Grey's community that you are maybe in the Facebook group with, but you want to like see people face to face, those meetings always bring me great joy. So you can find out all of that. Yeah. At patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can also follow us on Instagram at @theoncallroompod and leave us a review on iTunes. 5 scalpels, 5 stars only, please.
Great.
I don't know what else. Yeah. So do that.
Another one of our bonus things that you can get by being a patron is if you're listening on the Patreon app, you get, in your $10 attending, you get post-op, which is 10 minutes after we call time of death, we continue talking. And this week's topic is we're going to discuss the superhero pose that Amelia stands in before she goes into surgery and kind of what was and what is the science behind that. Now we won't spoil anything, but we're going to talk about that. So if you're interested in that topic, make sure to pledge to be a $10 attending, and you have to be listening on the Patreon app.
Heck yeah. It's pretty easy and pretty great. Also, we will probably have more co-hosts on the rest of the season. Scheduling wise, we're just figuring that out. So thanks for being patient with us. Bree, it is a Monday. Did it feel like a Monday, or did you have a good day?
That is so funny that you say that, because the thing that I thought about when I was like, oh, I guess, like, what are we going to talk about? My first thing that was going to come out of my mouth was, it was such a fucking Monday today. Like, and so it's funny that you asked that. I don't know. I don't know if like everyone felt this way. I don't know if you had a good day, but nothing in particular like really sucked about today. It just felt very Monday, you know?
I mean, I can remember Mondays to me, life is just, I don't have like days that mean things anymore. No.
Sure.
Every day is its own, like it being a Wednesday has no effect on me, or it being a Friday, like, work is so sporadic that I feel like I'm Jonathan Groff lost in the woods. Like, there's just not, I'm floating.
You know, and I have a friend who's in the same boat, and I'm like, I am so jealous. And she was like, it was good for like 2 weeks, and now it's just, it's the same thing over and over again, and it sucks. So I don't know which one's better. The grass is always greener.
What I think is weird is that my body and my like habit is so used to like sitting at a desk and working for a majority hours of the day. And like today I did that, but I did not have a lot of work to do, but yet I still sat at my desk on a computer, which is like, I was just futzing around. Like I was not, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I did do a couple of things. I answered emails. I had a client phone call. Like, it's like, there are things I do, but like, there's not 9 hours worth of sitting on a computer things to do, but yet I did that. And then at 4 or 5, I was like, okay, right. Well, my work day's done. I was like, my work day could have been done at 10 a.m. had I like just did it all in a row. But I did do major grocery shopping, and yesterday I mopped my floors. So I'm going to count those two things as like accomplishments.
Those are big things. We ran out of like mop cleaner that we use on our wood floors, and I've been wanting to reorder it and we haven't. And so I feel like all winter we haven't mopped our floors and they are disgusting. Home ownership problems.
If it makes you feel better, I think that we have like we had a cleaning lady, she's been gone for a while, but I think she mops the floors. Does she do them well? Absolutely not. Like the corners are still always like, you know, like it's like it just got pushed. But like, anyway, so like something was rubbing our floors, but I have not personally mopped the floors in at least 3 years. So you should feel good about yourself.
Yeah. I also feel like the mop we use, y'all send me your mops that you use, because I feel like mopping doesn't do anything. I feel like it just pushes dirt around. I feel like the best thing to do, honestly, is to get on your hands and knees and hand wash floors. Like that's the only way, like with a bucket of something. Who? What? What are they saying?
I keep trying to say they're going to send us the link to those like robot ones that like, not rope, but they like the steam mops or the ones that like rotate.
Oh, is that what we need to be using?
Yeah. They're like, it's like, it's not a robot mop because you do it yourself, but it's got the like rotating things. And like, I think that's all, I don't know.
Yeah. I like, we use like Bona, which is like, and they're like spray mop. And I just feel like literally, I mean, it gets some stuff up, but then I feel like afterwards I could go and take like a cloth and wipe the ground and there'd still be dirt on it. So I feel like the only way you can really get a good clean is like a bucket of water and like swapping back and forth and wiping and drying. That's how, when I cleaned Abby's house one time, a long time ago, she paid me. Well, I just want people to know that, like, I didn't just like go clean Abby's house for her. Like, she paid me well.
I paid you. No, it feels worse that I paid you. It would feel better if you were like, yeah, Abby was ill and I thought it'd be really nice. But like me being like, I hired you to clean my house makes me feel less.
No, I loved it because I was like really struggling with money at the time. And you were like, you absolutely don't have to do this, but if you want to make some extra money, and I cleaned houses at the time. So I appreciated it. I was like, yes, I would like to make some extra money and I will. So anyway, I hand like washed your floors. Like I got on my hands and knees and mopped your floors. But I've never done that in my own home. It's easier to do it in someone else's house. The minute you have to do it in your own.
You were probably the last person to mop my floors. I follow that on Instagram, the like Go Clean Co. It's like a Canadian house cleaner that became like, she like blew up over quarantine. And I even bought her like handbook of cleaning things. And her recipe for floor cleaning is scoop, or it's like Tide, like the powdered Tide, bleach and hot water. That's like what she cleans fucking everything with. So I vacuumed my floors, then I mopped it with that combination, and I emptied the bucket like multiple times. Like I made new batches every time it got gross. I did that, and then I did Bona over the wood part, and then I vacuumed a second time.
So yeah, you didn't use bleach on your wood floors, right?
It's like literally the tiniest amount, and I did a huge spot test and it did nothing, and it's been done before. So just like the littlest bit, it was like she approved it for wood floors.
Oh, I'm just so afraid of fucking up our wood floors.
That's because you did your own wood floors. If you put your blood is in those floors.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Our firstborn child's blood.
That's disgusting.
It's really weird. So something else. I also feel like I would get in a lot of trouble. I always say like in trouble from John. I would never get in trouble. But I just would like hate for him to come home from work and be like, I tried something new and now our wood floors are completely ruined. I think his head would explode. So
no, it's very much fine. They're fine.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try it on our top wood floors because we didn't redo those.
Yeah, you should. Just don't inhale it. I almost like dropped myself dead when I was, because I did the bleach and then I poured the powdered Tide and it kind of like, you know, like, and I was like, oh my God. Like this combination could kill me.
Oh, that's funny. Ooh,
quick, I mean, it's not. Before we get into Grays, I just want to recommend a movie Jake and I watch, and I'm sure everyone has watched already. It's like exploding everywhere. It was on Netflix. It's called I Care a Lot. And it has Rosamund Pike in it, Peter Dinklage. It is like a Netflix movie. The premise is that there is a woman, her name is Marla Grace, who basically is like a scam artist, and she and her girlfriend become elderly people's guardians. She works with a doctor who writes a fake note saying that the elderly person cannot care for themselves anymore. It's like haunting. Cannot care for themselves anymore. She becomes their legal guardian. They like target old people without children, who like don't have heirs or anything. And then they basically become their guardian, put them in a old folks home, like a living facility, and then take over all of their inheritance, like their house, their assets. They sell them. They become rich off these, and these old people can't have any say because according to their doctor, they're like unable. It's very frightening. So that's like the premise, but then it goes into this like, which was really hard to watch at first. Cause like elder abuse is like very sad. But then it goes into this like crazy twist of a story. It's by the, I believe it's, or she was in Gone Girl, but it felt very Gone Girl vibes. like thriller, not scary, but just like, it was very.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah. And it was like really, I haven't watched a movie that like gripped me, you know, like in a while where you just like couldn't stop watching. Also, Rosamund Pike, I think, is beautiful and has this great, like, short bob and great outfits in the show. You, like, hate her in the movie, but you also, like, don't know how you feel afterwards. But anyways, I highly recommend it if you just, like, yeah. I mean, I would say if you have any personal anything about someone who's living in a care facility that you're sensitive about, maybe don't watch it. But also know that it's a movie. You know what I mean?
Like, sure. It's not like based on a real story.
I mean, who knows? People are probably taking advantage of old people and their money. I'm sure that that's a real thing. But
I mean, yeah, like these characters aren't like specifically like people who. Okay. Okay.
Correct. And it's great to see Peter Dinklage again. I like miss him.
Yeah.
He's such a good actor.
It's like an old friend coming back around. Yeah.
It really felt like it. And Peter Dinklage made me want to rewatch Game of Thrones. Like I miss Tyrion.
Maybe we should rewatch it.
And we're drinking red wine. So it's like we're Lannisters. Cheers.
Yeah. Maybe we should rewatch it like apart, but together.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. And then we could start a podcast about it.
No, absolutely not. Okay, perfect. Well, I think we should get into Grays.
Okay, wait, but can you imagine you and me having a Game of Thrones podcast? It would make no sense. Like,
what's people the person's would be name again?
People would be super offended. They would be like, who are these two bitches talking about? We wouldn't get any of the pronounce any of the names correctly. Oh, that'd be funny. We should consider it. Or what if we just like randomly put out an episode that like during a season and all of a sudden we're just like, and so today we watch season 2, episode 3 and 4 of Game of Thrones, and we just like go into it. And
I would like to
see
you host.
No one understands why.
I would like to see you host a Lord of the Rings solo podcast.
Oh, I would have a lot to say, for sure. For sure.
Just like you.
It would be mostly
drunk
about Legolas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just you getting drunk talking about Lord of the Rings.
Am I talking about like actually Lord of the Rings, or am I talking more about like my memories and feelings and what my sexual awakening from Lord of the Rings as
whatever comes up.
Okay, whatever comes up. Is it like a 3-part thing, like the trilogy Lord of the Rings?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it's just 3 episodes. Great. Yeah. I'll record those privately and we'll see if they're worthy enough for a bonus episode.
And I can do them for Harry Potter.
Perfect. Yeah. And so we'll just do them on our own and then we'll send them to each other and we'll judge if it's worth anyone else listening to it. That sounds perfect.
Oh, I love that. Okay, great. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get into Grays. And welcome back. We are talking today about season 11, episode 13 and 14, Staring at the End and The Distance. Just a reminder, if you are a patron, make sure you're listening in the Patreon app or using the RSS feed to get our post-op topic. Otherwise, you will miss out after we call Time of Death. So, Bree, do you want to read first?
Sure. So, short summary. The hospital doctors become fascinated with Dr. Herman's case when Amelia gives a lecture detailing the intricacies of the surgery. Arizona and Herman continue to bond over the amount of cases they are trying to complete before the big surgery. Meanwhile, Bailey brings them the case of a pregnant woman who is close to her heart.
In this Amelia-centric episode, Amelia engages in the surgery of a lifetime as a crowd of doctors look on from the gallery. With Stephanie by her side, she begins operating on Dr. Herman, but quickly realizes it's far more difficult than she anticipated. Meanwhile, Bailey becomes skeptical when Arizona takes on one of Herman's cases.
All right. And the first monologue, this one is by Nicole Herman. It says, "I don't like questions without any answers. Like, where do we go when we die? I mean, I know what happens physiologically speaking, but beyond that, what really happens? Anything? That's what you start asking yourself when you live on a clock. All these questions without any answers. They drive you nuts. That's why I like what I do. Fixing babies, birthing babies. No ambiguity there. No questions, just answers. Clear, precise, obvious answers. And life, beautiful new life. Hope for the future. God, I miss that. I never placed much value in wondering about an afterlife. My concern was always this life. What would I do with it? How would I make my mark? I wanted to break new ground. I wanted to leave a legacy. I wanted my life, my brain, my existence to mean something. The thing I never really thought about, though, the thing I never really wrapped my brain around until now was, in order to be remembered, in order to leave something significant behind, you have to leave." Woof.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. Also, I like really relate to that last sentence in there. Like, mm-hmm. I think anyone who like it doesn't spend a lot of time focusing on the afterlife, it's just like a weird thought. Anyways, mm-hmm. Also, when the show is airing, it's hard to pay attention to the monologue. So it's whenever we read these, I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that really resonates.
Okay. Right. Or that really makes sense for this episode. Okay, this monologue is by Amelia Shepherd. It says, in 1988, William Williams Keane became one of the first surgeons. What?
1888.
What did I say? 19?
Yeah, 1988.
Oh, God. Okay. I was like, why did you stop me? Okay. Let me start over. Amelia Shepherd. In 1888, William Williams Keane became one of the first surgeons to successfully remove a brain tumor. A big win, it's true. You can look it up. What's harder to find, however, are stories of all the times old Double Billy Kay tried to pull a tumor out of a brain and lost. The losses must have happened. A surgeon must always be prepared to lose. And in neurosurgery, with the big tumors, we lose those battles as often as we succeed. The key, though, win or lose, is to never fail. And the only way to fail is not to fight. So you fight until you can't fight anymore. Hold up your head and enter the arena and face the enemy. Fight until you can't fight anymore. Never let go. Never give up. Never run. Never surrender. Fight the good fight. You fight, even when it seems inevitable that you are about to go down swinging. Why do we even try when the barriers are so high and the odds are so low? Why don't we just pack it in and go home? It would be so, so much easier. And it's because in the end, there's no glory in easy. No one remembers easy. They remember the blood and the bones and the long agonizing fight to the top. And that is how you become legendary. Oh, that was a mouthful.
That was good. Shotgun workup, we have, this is not like all of the patients, but it's the ones that really matter. So patient one, we have Leslie Barrett, diaphragmatic hernia. Then we have Nicole Herman, grade
four?
Mm-hmm. astrocytoma, stroke blindness. And then Glenda Castillo, Sacrosigilla teratoma, high drops, fetal sacrosigilla teratoma, fetal anemia, Mira syndrome, fetal cardiac arrest.
Nicely done. All right. And then we broke our rounds. Basically, we're going to talk about these episodes in chronological order. We're not going to be breaking it up into topics. And there were three main perspectives in these episodes. Number one being Amelia, her prepping for surgery, giving her speech and doubting herself. And in the end, being a superhero, Dr. Herman, her issue with radiation, her trying to hand over her patients to Arizona, and then knowing it's time for surgery. And lastly, Arizona dealing with Herman's illness and having to fly solo on Glenda Castillo. So we're going to just kind of talk through it. But those are the three main. It was fun to have an episode that was so centric on like three people only.
Mm-hmm. You could really focus on just one storyline instead of like 18 little ones. I mean, like, I know that like some characters were brought in, obviously, like Amelia, or I'm sorry,
April
and Jackson. Too many A names, you know?
yeah.
So there were, like, we'll talk about that, but mostly just like one storyline I feel like is very helpful.
Yeah, I'm curious. I know we usually say this afterwards, but I'm curious, like, overall, how did you feel about these episodes?
I felt like really emotional in them. I had like a lot of GGBs, and I feel like it's really been building up to this point of Dr. Herman going in for her surgery. And so it felt like, I don't know, it felt like a lot to me. Like I really enjoyed these episodes. Even though Dr. Herman doesn't really stay around as a character, I don't know, I felt like really connected to her.
I feel like too, watching these two and like not just watching one and then pausing, like that watching them in a row, like as one complete whole was really like, I should look at the dates. I don't think these aired the same week, but it would have been nice if they did, because I felt like it felt like one long, really good movie kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. So you wanted to know my first note, did you?
Yeah, I did. What is it?
I'm going to read my first two, because one is just Dr. Herman doing the monologue, going to be a big day. And then my second one makes me laugh and says, Owen brings coffee to Amelia. Ooh. And I did it in like uppercase O, low, you know, like up and down anyways. So.
Yeah, my first note was the same. Dr. Herman's doing the monologue. And then my second one was, she calls Arizona chirpy. And I was like, does she mean chippy, chipper? But then she ends up calling her chirpy again. So I don't know. I guess that's what she meant.
Chirpy, like a bird. Yeah. I don't know. Like a bird in the morning when you don't want to wake up.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Yeah. So like right away, Owen brings Amelia coffee. And I was kind of confused. I was like, these were my notes about it. Does Amelia not want to talk to Owen? Did something embarrassing happen? Oh, he is hard to ignore. Is it because she likes him? I'm confused by this whole exchange. I was like, just a little lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think she is confused and is snippy because she's focusing on the surgery and then remembers like, oh, I just went to your house and made out with you. Like, you're just being nice. Thank you for the coffee. Like, I don't, but yeah, she's clearly not good at communicating. I just feel like if I were Owen, it's like not, there's a couple times in these episodes to Owen, it's like not quite the time, Owen. Like when she's going into surgery and she's like, this is where you leave me. Like I have to, like her brain is on the surgery, nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't miss anything. Like nothing embarrassing happened between them. It was just like,
other than she went there and made out with him, but
right, that she brought like sparkling water to him and made out or whatever. Okay,
right,
cool.
Yep. God, really, I wish someone would bring sparkling water to me. I did have to go to Costco today to get LaCroix because I was all out. And good news at Costco, they have the limoncello, like the pack that has hibiscus, limoncello, and watermelon, which are the three flavors that I'm into right now.
Really? I hate all of those flavors.
I hated limoncello and then I became addicted to it. I think there's drugs inside of it because I truly despised it. I despised it. And then that night after I tried it, I craved it. It was the weirdest thing. And then I've like, it's my favorite. It like satisfies a need deep inside of me when I drink it. I think it has drugs in it.
It must, because I don't know. Like, I think we bought it and like gave you some of it at some point because we didn't like it. I don't know.
I don't
Whatever.
Know.
I like tangerine.
I do too. I don't know what it's like to crave nicotine, but it feels like my limoncello.
Like that?
Like once I get it, like, look, here's one right here. Once I get it, then I'm like calm again.
That is something else, you know, and I don't really care for the hibiscus. I think it's just like meh. And then the watermelon one, I think is good with white wine. But other than that, it's not very good on its own.
I don't normally buy watermelon, but it came in that pack. And I didn't want that just lime, whatever one. I wanted to go on a limb. So anyways, I was prepared going into Costco to buy the plain flavors. And then I was pleasantly surprised. Okay, I'm getting off topic. Back to Grace. Okay, so there's a timeline on this episode too, where right in the beginning, we find out that Dr. Herman, Amelia believes that there are 6 weeks left until the tumor is going to hit the optic nerve, which is the point when they need to have surgery. So that's like where we start out. What did you think about Amelia's TED Talk situations? Like, she's obviously like presenting to the hospital.
I thought it was kind of weird. Like, I get it. Like, I get it was like a learning thing. And this isn't the first time that Grey's Anatomy has done something like this.
Right.
But I don't know. I didn't personally like it.
Me either.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page. This is where she talks about the life will out. Which we actually have a listener who, shout out, has that tattooed on her, which I think is really cool. But I didn't remember this. And I was like, I don't really understand what that means. But it means like life will always find a way to continue.
Yes.
Which I think is a really great sentiment.
Yeah, I do too. And I liked that. So I guess the only thing I liked about these TED Talks, I felt like Amelia was like being a persona. Like she was being someone else. She very much, I have a note in here about how sometimes I forget that Amelia is a shepherd, that she is Derek Shepherd's sister. And when she was giving these speeches, it felt like Derek, very Derek-like. Like I am the face of medicine. I am the, you know what I mean? Like what I am doing is life-changing. It really felt like, it was interesting because I felt like she was projecting this Derek confidence and then like didn't actually have it. Like who she was on stage is not actually who she was walking into that surgery. And so like, I liked her thing about how like to the tumor, we are the cancer, like her mindset around that. But it just felt like really not like her, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting too. Cause I'm currently rewatching Private Practice and she's Ooh. In Private Practice and it's just weird to like see who she is in that show and like who she is right now with Dr. Herman and Grey's Anatomy. I mean, this is one of my last notes, but like, and we'll get to there a little later, but like one of the last things was like, I think I like Amelia more after rewatching this episode, at least the second episode. Cause it's not that I like dislike Amelia. I don't know. This could be like a hot take, but she just feels like a lot to me. Kind of what you were saying. Like she feels like a shepherd. It's a lot. There's a lot of like low tone emotion where I'm holding back tears type thing. And I don't know, but this episode I was like, okay, I'm like kind of on board with Amelia now.
I actually saw you had that note and I wanted to know what changed your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I think, since we're going chronologically, I think I'm going to wait until we get to the very end of the second episode, but remind me to talk about it.
Will do. Okay. So also there's a couple times throughout this episode that we see Dr. Herman getting MRIs and also getting radiation. There's like two different procedures. During the MRIs is when the clouds are on the ceiling, which they paint there to like calm you, which I thought it was really cool that they brought that into the episode a few times. Like there's what that scene when her in Arizona are laying on the grass, looking up at the clouds. There's the, like right before Dr. Herman goes under for surgery, there's like a bunch of like a montage of like grass, birds, clouds, like real life things. And so I thought that was kind of cool. But when she's getting radiation, she gets put under this head brace thing, which I panicked looking at it.
That was terrifying. At one point, they do end up burning it, which I was like, yes. I think other people need to use that. So I don't really think.
No, I think it's a mold. I think it's a mold to your face.
Just for her.
Well, think
it's
about
just
it.
Just for her.
Yeah, it was like not everyone's face would fit in that, I think.
I thought to me it looked like stretchy material that like stretched over her face. I could be very wrong about
this. I pictured it as hard plastic.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like I pictured it as like almost that like maybe like twisty ties kind of material.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know what I pictured it as? No, that is not. The things that go on pop cans that you have to cut up. Like that material. Oh. So it's still like stretchy a bit. It's still like harder plastic, but it is stretchable. It's like, that's what I thought of it as. I could be wrong. I'm probably
wrong. That thing freaked me out. And I liked how like you think Dr. Herman's fine and she's used to it. And then she grabs Arizona's hand and Arizona kind of cries. Like, I think, cause it's just really hard to see your friend like going through that. That's like right in the beginning.
Yeah, and that's her radiation, correct?
Yes. And after that, for that session, she decides, like, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, she tells Amelia, like, I am not spending the, like, last moments of my life sick and my hair falling out. And Amelia kind of hits back with, like, I am going to save you. These are not going to be the last moments of your life. And I need you to be doing the radiation so I can save you.
Right.
And Herman doesn't want to do it, which, I get.
Yeah. Yeah. okay. So then there's like a great lunch scene where it's the scene when Callie is looking over at Herman and Arizona and they're like, I feel like she's like kind of jealous of like their friendship and, Alex is like, oh, they're bunking up together. And Meredith is just kind of like, shut up, Callie. And I like what Meredith says to Callie, because Callie's like, Arizona seems so happy. And Callie, she goes, you seem happy-ish.
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up there. So I didn't catch all of it, but I caught the Callie thing. I don't know. You went robot. So we'll be interested to listen back to see if your voice went robot on the actual recording.
No, I don't think it did. Wait, let's pause real fast. Take a break. Fill your wine. Okay. So I guess it's just fun to see like another lunch scene with all of the characters. It's like the only goofy part of the entire episode. Did you laugh at the part when, I forget who says it, but that they want Callie. She's like, am I really asking for a sexless relationship where I don't have to groom myself? And I loved that.
Yeah. And what does, Maggie say? Like, oh, something about like, he can search for it or whatever. And
cause she goes, it's in there. He can find it. And I loved that.
I did too. I was like, you go, Maggie, you.
You and your big bush, you go. And I love it. And I'm supporting it.
Super supportive. Yeah, I did. I really liked the lunch scene too. I mean, I feel bad for Callie, of course, because too, it's like that really hard thing when you break up with someone, but you still really care about them. Mm-hmm. And so it's very obvious. Like, it's not just like, I think there's a bit of jealousy there, but then, you know, later on in the episode where she comes to like check in on Arizona when Herman's in surgery, I think she like legitimately just wants to make sure that like Arizona is doing okay because she still cares for her.
I think so too. And I think it's like hard for Arizona to accept that, you know, like I think she thinks Callie has some sort of other motive, which is why I feel like it takes her a minute to like just be vulnerable with her, but ultimately she's able to, so also after the lunch scene, we get introduced just quickly. We're going to be talking about the patient named Glenda Castillo, who Bailey treated her husband who passed away. The woman found out she was pregnant and now is having problems with the fetus and herself. And so she tries to get Arizona and Dr. Herman to treat her. Arizona ends up making them like get to see her, and Nicole Herman goes into the appointment even after she told Bailey no. And then there's that scene when Arizona and Dr. Herman are back in the room looking at all of the cards of all of the patients that they need to treat. And she kind of like tells Arizona, like, okay, you want to treat Glenda Castillo, take one of these babies off the wall. Like, one of these babies is not going to live because we do not have time. which was just interesting because like she's not wrong, but it's also like really stressful and cruel, I think.
Yeah. I mean, she's not wrong. And they had set up this plan. I think right before this too, Herman is looking at, we kind of see it from her perspective, like looking at the note cards, and you can tell her eyesight is getting blurry. Or maybe it's in a surgery. And so it's like very obvious, like she does not have time. And she says that to Arizona, you know, like, I don't have time. Like, and then, you know, you pick a card, you choose, like, she is definitely running out of time because
good catch.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really sad, but like, I mean, someone has to make that choice. And obviously it's Dr. Herman is like, if you want to do something else, if you want to do a different surgery, mm-hmm. then you do it. I'm not going to be the one to do it.
Yeah. And then right after that, Dr. Herman has radiation again, and she freaks out during it, which is like, again, really hard to see, like imagining your head being fucking strapped down. And that's when Dr. Herman and Amelia kind of have like the yelling, like they yell at each other about like, I'm not doing the radiation, whatever. And this is a terrible note of mine, but I wrote, it's like two brain tumors yelling at each other. Cause I feel like Amelia has her brain tumor at this time and just doesn't know it. So it's like crazy that they're both like, I don't know. It was also really cool. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but like not too far that. So Dr. Herman is saying like, I know this will help you in surgery, but I'm not doing it. Like I don't want to help myself. I want to be able to practice medicine and not feel sick. And then like later down the line, the woman, Glenda Castillo, doesn't want to help herself. She only wants to do whatever's good for the baby, even if it doesn't hurt her. And Arizona has that moment where she like laughs and is like, this is exactly what you're doing to Amelia. Which was like a taste of her own medicine, sort of.
Yeah. She calls it like divine justice or something, which is true. I mean, like it's the exact, like, you know, Dr. Herman being like, I can't believe this mother. She wants her help and she has to follow like what I say. I'm the doctor. I know best. And I do think it's a really great scene when Arizona just busts out laughing. It's so like irreverent. It's like, excuse me, how dare you laugh at me? But it's like, you are a child and you are doing the same exact thing.
Exactly. It was also sad though, the story with the like Glenda Castillo, I really like, I don't think that her, like she lost her husband. So this baby, it's not like she has another chance to have a baby with her husband. He's gone. And I very much like, I'm in no way, shape or form can like actually empathize with, I can empathize. I can't understand what that's like, but like, her choosing the baby over herself, like it doesn't seem like that crazy of a mindset, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Herman and Arizona get drunk together.
Just vodka. They're just drinking straight vodka.
Ugh. I mean, think about it though. The other night we made martinis.
Okay. That had some sort of lemon in it.
That's true. But I mean, or think about it. People just like sip on whiskey.
That's true. I guess, yeah. If you want to get drunk and you don't want to like have social drinks, then I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I have a quote here and I feel like it needs to be said. At one point, Amelia, she's like, this tumor is super stressing her out. And she says, this tumor is making me crazy. And I wrote, she literally has a tumor. Like, so it's a really weird thing for her to say because...
Right.
Like it kind of actually, like her tumor is actually kind of making her quote unquote crazy because no other doctor was going to touch this tumor exactly. On Dr. Herman. So
also, we're quoting Amelia saying she's crazy. We are not saying she's crazy.
No. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And also I like that right away, Stephanie's like, do you need food? You know, like as like pure survival instincts, like when someone is not doing well, it's like, are they hungry? Like, have they rested? yeah. And she also says she does not need Derek. And then she kind of snaps at Stephanie, which do you remember what she says to her? I like missed what she actually says.
I didn't write it down, but she said something about her being a stupid resident or something.
Okay. And then I have, so then Stephanie, which I love Stephanie standing up for herself in this moment. And she says that Amelia is her mentor. And she says that, like, she tells her, like, you can't call me names. And she says, be worthy of being believed in and looked up to. Or if you can't actually be worthy, if there's nothing about you that is special, at least pretend there is. And I thought that was really important that after being called like a stupid resident, whatever it is she called her, that she like stuck her ground at that, which I just really like Stephanie. I wish she hadn't left.
I know. I like her too. And I'm happy that she stood up for herself. And even throughout the surgery too, being like, I have been here from the beginning. Like I want to be here. Like during the, like Amelia's speech thing, her TED talk or whatever too, when Joe asks like, do you need another resident on this case? And, you know, Amelia's like, not if Stephanie wants to be here. And I love that she, you know, stands by Amelia's side through this whole thing. Like she's the first one to get it when like Amelia's trying to teach the residents. And I just really love her character.
Me too. Yet again, we have Callie checking in on Arizona. Nothing really new there. Just another check-in. Oh, do you have something?
Can I say something that happened in the talk, which I think is important because at the end of the talk, everyone applauds and like questions. She's like, does anyone have any questions? Joe asks that thing about, do you need another resident? And then Callie asks if she's going to do this alone. And like, are you going to bring Derek here? Like, shouldn't you like pretty much call your brother? And someone asked if she's scared. And she said, like, I would be foolish not to be scared, but like, I'm more than excited and whatever. So I think it's important that like someone brought up to her Derek because.
Yeah. I was going to talk about before the TED talk, even Owen stops her before she goes in to talk for the last time. And she like looks kind of like just like ghost in the headlights. I hope not. Deer in the headlights.
Really not.
And she says that she has been the underdog to Derek. She has a sick feeling that when she faces that tumor, she will discover that she is the wrong Dr. Shepherd. Like she admits that before she goes in and gives that speech, before Callie brings that up to her. So this is like strike two of like putting doubt in her mind that it shouldn't be her. It should be Derek doing this. It's crazy too. They're talking about the surgery and they're like, how long do you think it'll take? And they're like 18 hours. All I kept thinking was like, oh, she got to like start to get some good night's sleep. Like, you know, like I thought that they would have like days to prepare.
I know. And at one point too, like earlier in the episode, she even talks about like, she cannot ask Derek for help. She said he has transcontinental smugness. I thought that was very funny.
That's a great quote. There is right after that, Dr. Herman had Arizona like doing something on her own on this patient. And she like immediately walks out of the surgery and goes right to Amelia and says she needs to be scanned because she can't see. And that moment is so like dun, 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 you know, like Jumanji drums, like, and at that same time too, Glenda Castillo needs surgery. And so it's like, it's crazy because when Amelia sees those scans, she's just staring at them. And then Arizona comes in and she just like points to the screen and they see it. And like everything happens all at once. Like they don't even, it's not like, okay, well, guess you'll have surgery tomorrow. It's like they start coming in and like, I don't know. It's just really like, it was a really great transition, I think. And it felt really real life to how Arizona went from like, holy shit, like she had to be there for Nicole, you know?
Yeah. And it's so sad too, because like Arizona's doing this surgery and Dr. Herman's in there with her and she's like does this glove thing. She said, we used to do this in peds. And like Dr. Herman's kind of like, I didn't teach you that. And I think there's almost this moment of like, Arizona is taking what she learned to like a next level.
Yes.
And I can imagine that would feel sad. Like you'd be proud, but you would also be like, oh, like fuck, like I might not be around to like keep moving to the next level with my fellow here. And she's just like, excellent. You should be very proud of yourself. And she leaves. And then she says she needs to be scanned. And she says like, you know, it's like she has blinders on. She's like, her side vision's blurry and stuff. And what breaks my heart is when Amelia's like, yeah, let's go. And Dr. Herman grabs Amelia's arm. And it's like, she can't see well enough to like...
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's really, God.
And then what I really appreciate about the end of this episode is that once they decide that she needs to go into surgery, the viewpoint of the camera flips between like the normal way Grace is filmed, where it's like just an overall thing, to like Nicole Herman's viewpoint. Like even when she's getting on the hospital bed, like the gurney, you see like things sideways. Like you are, which it's so interesting. So like you are in her eyes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like seeing what she sees, which again is sort of like even foreshadowing, I think, to like vision and like, also, because I mean, like, this is a spoiler. Like, these are the last images that Nicole Herman sees, like, ever, which is just really crazy. And Herman says to Arizona, looks like it's a big day for both of us. And then when they're in the OR, it's almost like Dr. Herman is about to say, like, I love you, or, you know, like all of these things. And Arizona's like, don't. And instead she just says, time to go, like, and holds her hand. And I just like, their relationship is really cool to see how it's progressed. But I thought it was so creative. For once, a creative choice I was on board for is when Grace showed it from Nicole Herman's literal viewpoint.
Yeah. And like, you know, the doctor's looking over her and like,
Looking at the ceiling when you're being wheeled down the hallway.
Yeah, it was really powerful. And, you know, and then Arizona has to fly solo. And two, like, it just shows what like a great doctor Dr. Herman is too, because she's like, as she's being wheeled to surgery, she's talking to Arizona about like, you know, she's going to tell you that you want her, like, that she wants you to save the baby over her and like, you know, let her say her piece, but then you do what's right. And it's just like, wow, you're talking about this case up until the very last moment of like, before you have anesthesia, you're like thinking about teaching Arizona, you know, and leaving behind your legacy, Hamilton, you know, that monologue.
Is a legacy.
That's all I could think about. And yeah, in that ending part, I had so many GGBs when that last line, the thing I never really thought about though, the thing I never really wrapped my brain around until now was, in order to be remembered, in order to leave something significant behind, you have to leave. And that's how the episode ends, with her going into surgery and her... I started crying.
It would be so weird to go into a surgery knowing you might not make it out. Like, I just can't imagine that feeling. Like, you know, and just like what goes through your brain. The cynic in me, this is like so dark and twisty. That should be the name of our podcast if we ever do another one about Grace. Is that like the cynic in me is like, I think there'd be a sense of relief. Well, at least if I'm going to go, it's going to be not painful, you know, like I'm going to like, but also like at this point, like she brings up later, like she has hope now. So it's way harder. Oh, it's crazy. Especially someone like her who, like you said, it was only focused on life. You know what I mean? Like was only focused on what she could accomplish. Something that I think was interesting, I watched these on Netflix just in a row. Like I didn't like go back to the menu or whatever, but it like automatically played a recap of the previous episode before this one aired, which was weird. And I just think like even how the timeline of these episodes, like it sort of overlaps, like in this next episode, it shows the parts that we saw from Nicole Herman's viewpoint from like Amelia's viewpoint, you know, like Amelia putting on the scrub cap, which we saw from sideways angle from far away. And then we get a whole scene and we know that in that moment, like we'll talk about that's when she was doing the superhero pose. Like, it's just really cool that I think these episodes were truly like one person's viewpoint, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So Amelia does the monologue for this next one. I can't, like, Owen's like, there's going to be a full gallery. I would not want anyone fucking watching this. Like, I get that maybe that's a part of this job that I just don't understand at a teaching hospital. But that would make me so nervous.
I think too, though, I mean, like, think about it. There, she is choosing to, like, do something, to go somewhere that no one has ever gone. Like, there's a fucking ego thing in that too, I think. Like, having people watch you. I think you kind of have to be an egomaniac to be a surgeon. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I actually had a moment. I think Jake was watching these with me, and I said to him, I think I was like, would it be super hot if I was a surgeon? He was like, yeah. And I was like, I think so. Like, to know that your significant other like could fucking operate on a brain. And like, I was like, all of a sudden I was like very like sexually attracted to Amelia in a way. I was just like, damn, she's really operating on a brain.
Yeah. I mean, that moment though too is so real when she like walks into the hallway before she goes in to scrub in, and she's freaking out and crying very hard. And I was like, yeah, that's like a fuck ton of pressure what she's about to do. And I also think she thought she had more time.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's like, here we are, like going to scrub in. She does a superhero pose.
Full night's sleep.
Yeah, seriously. We'll talk about the superhero pose in the post-op, but
we'll just talk about the scene. We'll just talk about the science behind it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's so cute. Like, so like Stephanie comes in and sees Amelia standing with her like legs wide, hands on her hips, chin up high. And I was really emotional.
Me too.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, you spill. I feel like you're more emotional than me. Tell me.
I don't know. I just, when Stephanie, like, she's like, what are you doing? And then Amelia's like, there's a science behind it, whatever. And she's like, I'm being a superhero. And then when Stephanie does it with her, I don't know why, but I like wanted to cry.
Same. And the monologue is saying, hold up your head and enter the arena and face the enemy. And they're both doing that pose, and it zooms out, and it's like two fucking strong ass women. And I just, I got very emotional. Oh my God. I also have the hiccups. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I just can't even imagine doing surgery like this, being under this amount of pressure. I can barely plan a wedding without falling apart. be able to like be in that space and like, I don't know. And like, I've like done superhero pose before. And like, I don't know. I was doing that to like, go to a class or something, you know, like not to go do like brain surgery. It's just wild. Right. It's very wild.
I know. When I asked Jake the like, would it turn you on if I was a brain surgeon? But then he's like, I think it's really cool and sexy that you're a wedding photographer. Oh. And I was like, thanks. But also those two things like do not equate like the same amount of pressure.
No.
It just made me laugh. I'm going to do superhero pose before every wedding.
You should.
Okay. This part I want to talk about because it made me giggle. So they're all in the gallery watching. Meredith says, someone makes the face like you're watching the worst day of someone's life, like a movie. And then there's just like a funny part. And then Richard comes in, had Ben save him a seat, and he has a snack box, like a lunch box.
And he says it's kickoff time.
What does he say?
It's kickoff time.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm skipping ahead a quick moment, but I love that everyone is shushing Callie when she comes in and like starts talking. And she's like, it's not like it's the ballet. And Richard goes, though it is kind of a dance. There is grace, there is rhythm and elegance. And it's just such a good moment. And there's also this dumb resident that keeps asking questions, which I think the reason he's there is so that we as viewers get answers to those dumb questions. Just reminders of all the scientific things, which I did Google. And there's that moment when the lights turn off and Amelia puts the dye in the tumor to like see it. And that's real. They put I thought that was totally fake, but it's real.
When the dye comes in, that's when, I think that's when Richard says it's kickoff time, but it was like, holy shit, that tumor is so big. And even Ben is like, oh, I thought it was only going to like light up the tumor. And Richard is like, that is the tumor. Which is just wild. And then Stephanie says at one point to Amelia, I think she says like, you're going to have another resident tap in or whatever. And I love that Stephanie says, if you're here, I am here. So that she's like, we're a team. I'm going to stand by your side. And Amelia is like, hell yeah. Okay. But
can you imagine standing in the same spot for 18 hours?
I can't stand for 10 minutes without being either bored or tired.
You'd make a great brain surgeon.
I would be, if I could sit down and do brain surgery, I'd probably be really good at it.
That's so funny. Right away, Richard notices that Amelia's shoulders are tense and that something is bothering her. Yet again, Richard, I think, is the best teacher in this hospital. And I love that he, like everyone else is watching the surgery, he is watching her. And I just love to see it. And she's kind of
that he can pick up on her body language.
Yes,
it's pretty phenomenal. Like that's a really good teacher.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I think he's just real. God, I love Richard Weber. I'm going to keep talking about this breakdown Amelia has, and then we'll go back to maybe like the what's happening with Arizona and Bailey, just so we're not like jumping back and forth. So also in this moment when Amelia is kind of frozen, April comes in, and we haven't seen April since, she lost her child. And I loved that she said, Dr. Herman was with me on my worst day. I wanted to be with her on hers. That like gave me goosebumps for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's there. And then also Richard Weber, he just like sees something's wrong. He goes down. And I love how this moment, like Amelia's like, turn off the intercom, you know, whatever. And she says that to Richard that she is in over her head. She made a mistake and she needs Derek to come in. She says, my hubris is going to kill her. And she wants Derek to like fly in. He could be there in 6 hours, blah, blah, blah. And I love that Richard says, he's like, I have seen Derek in the same position, staring at a tumor, terrified of what to do next. And then Amelia's like, oh yeah, the one on their wall. Like, so which that one. And then Richard says that like Derek would come in and kill her because he does not know what she has done, prepared for, like all of these things. And he says, you do not need them to. He is not here. You are. What is next? And I just think like Richard is the best person in that moment to have given her that talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I have. I just have that he was giving a Bailey teaching moment to Amelia. And that.
Think about how many Richard teaching moments he gave Bailey before Bailey gave teaching moments.
I mean, it's true, but let's be honest, Bailey does him the best. So
true.
Zona pushed forward with Dr. Herman, past what Dr. Herman did, Bailey has pushed forward past what Richard has done.
Yes. I don't know. I like this bond between him and Amelia, especially like in their AA and NA meetings. Like, I just think it's like, I think it's just fun to see. And I, again, wish that there was more of their relationship currently on the show. Okay. You want to bump back and talk about Arizona and Bailey and they're yelling at each other?
Sure. Yeah. So Arizona is in the surgery. They have to do, they're trying to remove the tumor, I believe so, on the baby, and then it's not going well. And so Bailey is like, we have to do a C-section. If we're going to have to pull the baby out, like, cause they're kind of doing it like laparoscopically, I think. And they're like, okay, we have to like cut actually open. And Bailey's like, if we're doing that, we're like doing a full C-section. She goes to Paige Karev, for like peds, and Arizona is like, don't, like, I know what I'm doing. I can do this. And Bailey doesn't trust her. Like, and it's pretty much like well, to like take it back a little bit, Bailey didn't know that Herman was going into surgery. So like Arizona shows up to this surgery with Bailey for Glenda and it's like, you keep saying we, who's we? Like Dr. Herman's not here. And she's like, Dr. Herman's not coming. I'm doing all of this.
Right.
And so like as Arizona is doing the surgery, like there's these like flashbacks to Dr. Herman, like Dr. Herman yelling at her and like, you know, like what's that one part?
Well, the one where Arizona's like, I think I can do it. And then you hear the flashback when Dr. Herman says, think or can, like yells at her. And then Arizona quickly changes her voice to say, I can do it, you know?
Yeah. And then the part where like, she's like, I'm not like, I'm questioning my own judgment now. Like, you know, because I'm the one who like chose you as a fellow or whatever. And then Bailey ends up still paging Karev and Karev comes in and he even kind of goes against Arizona and is like, hey, like, let's do what we did last time. We'll do the C-section and we'll remove the tumor. And Arizona's like, no, like the baby is not viable. We are going to do it my way. And then at one point, so they get everything removed, but then like the baby goes into like VFib or something. And she has Bailey hold the fetus like underneath while, and she's so confident in it too. She's like, you're not going to break him. And like, I need you to do this. And then she does compressions and they do epi, like a whatever of epi. And then like the baby fetus, whatever you want to call it, stabilizes. And then Arizona's like, okay, we can like put him back in now. And Bailey is so blown away, similar to what Arizona was. And it's just like, wait, like this, he's not even born. And I held him and he's like going back into the uterus. And that's where Arizona, says like, I know what that feels like. It feels like great privilege and is a reflection or like what Dr. Herman said to Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. It is so cool. Like I still, even just as a viewer, like think that that is like truly wild that like the, you know, fetal surgery and like to think, like, I feel like I'm Bailey when I watch that scene. I'm like, holy shit, the baby's not even born yet. You know, like it's just, it's really cool. And I love that they brought it full circle with like the same dialogue, kind of. And then I love too that Alex afterwards, he's like, I'm sorry, you know, I just last time and whatever. And Arizona's not mad at him. And then he says, until he says that Herman picked the right person to pass the torch to. And Arizona's like, she's not passing the torch. Like Arizona is not come to terms with the fact that Nicole Herman might die or might have something wrong. Jumping back into Nicole Herman's surgery quickly, they got the whole tumor. Like there was like this moment where all of a sudden she's like, we got the tumor. And then they have to do this thing, which was crazy, where they put these like radiation beads so that the tumor does not start to like come back again. Edwards passes out, like falls to, as soon as they say like, we got it, we're done. You know, ever like they step back, everyone like Edwards just goes down, which like love that she held on until then.
Oh yeah. Like, definitely. Well, what was that? Like 13 or 14 hours or something. Uh-huh. And it's just like out and they're like, okay, well, I guess.
I love that they're not worried. They're just like, yeah, it's a long time.
And then, I don't like looking at gooey brain matter. Like I'm going to be honest here. Really don't care to look at that. But then Amelia has to place these radioactive seeds. You said beads. I thought it was seeds. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're probably right. They look like beads, seed beads.
Sure. And so Richard has Meredith scrub in. It was like, she knows what she's doing. Like she just needs someone there and to support her. And I love that it's Meredith there. And like also to that mare for a while there was like gonna be a neuro. And she's like, that was a different surgeon quite a while ago. And he's like, you'll be fine. Get on in there. And so they're trying to place these radioactive seeds with like, you can't, with non whatever personnel that you don't need, you can't be in there for like more than 20 minutes or something. So like, because of radioactive material, and then she has gloves on and she can't place them. But what I find really interesting is she's like trying to be super precise with these like tweezers. But then when she takes his glove off, she just like shoves her hand in a brain. It does not seem any more precise with her fingers. Am I right?
Yeah. I didn't know what I was looking at there. I just was like, in my head, I was like, I don't understand the science, so I'm just going to ignore it. What I kept thinking about is how similar it was to like the Meredith sticking her hand in the body with the bomb. Like, and like, you know, Hunt is over there. I said, Hunt is protecting Amelia. Amelia is protecting Dr. Herman. And Meredith thinks this is badass. like no one is on the same page. And yeah, I mean, I don't know about the precision. I don't know how all that works, but like, I liked that it was like a great sister bonding moment for Mare. Cause I think Mare would have done the same thing if it would have made it work better.
I also wrote this might be the tumor speaking, like Amelia doing that, you know?
Yeah, and potentially. Like
not putting herself forward.
Oh, I was just going to go to a part about Arizona, but if go ahead.
Yeah, no. Let's go back to when Callie checks in on her for the final time in these episodes.
Yeah. And so she's like sitting and she's like thinking, I think this is the part where she's having memories about like, I picked the right horse and she's like, stop calling me a horse or whatever. And so Callie comes in to kind of check on her and Arizona says to Callie, like, she's in my head. And which we saw like everything that like she had tried to teach Arizona is now in her head. Like, I think that's a really powerful thing while we watch like flashbacks and stuff. And also knowing that like we have to do all of these like cases within like 6 months or 6 weeks or whatever the timeline is. But she says like, she's in my head and I'm not ready for my head to be the only place that she exists.
Yeah. That line made me really emotional because I think about that with loss of anyone, you know, that like ultimately that's kind of where, what happens. And how that isn't the same as someone existing in real life. Like, you can have every word of someone's memorized, their every movement, like everything. You can practically be them, but like, it's not the same as them existing elsewhere as well. I just thought for like loss, that was a really beautiful sentence. It's like times like that, that the writing of Grey's really impresses me because I feel like sometimes the show can be soap opera-y, but a line like that is just really like powerful.
Yeah, I think it can really resonate with people who have experienced loss. Like, yeah, that is what it feels like, you know, when you have like a loved one who's dying or, you know, who tragically passes or something. That is like, I think people feel that way. So,
Absolutely. There's a cute little funny moment when Stephanie wakes up on the gurney just in the hallway. And of course, Richard is like, she wakes up like how when you describe John going like, Richard's right there. He's like, they're there. And he's like, don't worry, you made it 13 hours. And he's like, that, you know, we're not even allowed to do that anymore. Like, most residents don't have the stamina for that. And then he's like, let's drink some water. And then Stephanie runs to surgery before Richard can get her. And at this moment, Amelia is like so tired and Mare is like, anyone can close. Like, you've done this part. Like, you can, you know, whatever. And I love Stephanie comes in at that moment and she's like, am I too late? And Amelia's like, no, you're right on time. You can close, which like Stephanie is well rested now. She's like, absolutely wants to do this. Amelia feels that it's like someone who's been involved the whole time ending it. And then Amelia goes out into the hallway and collapses and sobs. And I just like, I'm glad they showed that because I think that that's probably a reality after something so intense, you know?
Yeah, 17 hours of surgery. Like, how can you not have, and being on like that, how can you not have an emotional release like that at the end of it all? And exhaustion.
I have shot a 12-hour wedding day and the next day I have sobbed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 12 hours is only math of 17 minus 12. So there you go.
I'm now picturing you the day after your wedding day, just sobbing. Sobbing as if you've done an 18-hour surgery.
Yeah, I probably will. Like, let's be honest. It will be too much. Too much.
I'll bring you a paper bag to breathe into like Derek does. Okay.
Thank you. I'm already exhausted thinking about that
day. Dr. Herman doesn't wake up right away, which I forgot, like that there's like a pause. Amelia is constantly rewatching the rerun of the surgery, which again makes me realize that's why Stephanie was dictating what was happening, you know, for the film of it too. Hunt tells her to go home. And then we have this moment where Stephanie is looking at the like films with her and points out, and because they don't know why she hasn't woke up and they realize that she had a small stroke, which I can't even imagine looking at that because like that's something you can't prevent. You know what I mean? Like, they did all of this work and then that happened. Also, we see clips of like Arizona hanging by Herman's bed the whole time. There's a little callback to Mark when Arizona and Callie have a talk and,
Arizona talks about, like, because earlier we didn't talk about this, but Herman asked Arizona, she must have made her the person to make the choices, and talks about, like, give me 5 days, maybe a week, not more than that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to be cremated. And so Arizona's feeling the pressure to make these choices. And I like that Callie doesn't try to be like, yeah, you'll be okay. She just holds her hand, kind of.
Yeah. And then Dr. Herman ends up waking up. I mean, like, they take out the tube, and she, like, seems, she's completely with it.
And she says, mommy is the tube.
I forgot about that. And they're like, oh no. And then she laughs, like, very Dr. Herman joke. Like, yes. She, which is, like, pretty amazing. I feel like coming out of, like, I don't know, a coma pretty much, like, just being like, with it, it's, like, pretty amazing.
Right. Right.
But then they're doing, like, some different tests, and then they go to do a light test, and her eyes don't move. And I don't know if, like, at that point, if we'd never seen that, if we had would have realized, like, I knew this is what happened, but I can't remember what I thought when I first watched it.
Right.
But ultimately, we find out that she is blind, and she's completely blind. She can't see anything. And there's this, like, really emotional exchange between Arizona and her. And Arizona's, like, you know, trying not to cry about it. And, you know, she's like, pretty much, like, I don't know if you have the exact quote. If not, I can just kind of say what
she says. Like, after she talks about that Glenda Castillo is fine, like, that moment. And she says, I knew you would not let me down. I had no doubt. And that's when she, like, asks if she can see anything. And she says, no, completely blind. She asks if she is all right. And then she says, no, I don't know. And she says, it's going to take a while to sink in. And that's when Arizona kind of starts to cry again. And she grabs her hand. And she goes, the point is, I'm going to get to figure it out. Something is going to happen next. The point is, I'm alive, and I wouldn't be if you hadn't been such a pain in my ass.
Yeah, I love that too, because right before that, she's like, no, you're not getting it. Like, you're always, yes, like, a step, like, away from the point, pretty much. Right. Like, Arizona, you idiot. Like, I am alive. And I thought that was really, really powerful. And then Stephanie is very upset by it. She's crying. And Amelia is like, do not cry. Like, this is a victory. Like, you defeated death. Like, she's alive. That tumor was going to kill her. And now Dr. Herman is alive. And that's the victory. They were superheroes that day.
Yeah, it's a great ending. And I love that Herman still had her, like, funny bitchiness, which, because they mentioned too during surgery, like, maybe you'll cut out her bitchiness. And obviously that didn't happen. So I love that it kind of came full circle there. Just on the edge of our seat the whole time.
Yeah. So then that was my last note, was I have thoughts about Amelia. I like her more. I think it was really the last speech that she gave to Stephanie that made me, like, you know, because I almost expected Amelia to be super upset, like, in the surgery, she says, like, I cleared the optic nerve or something like that. Like, there is specifically, it is said that, like, she clears this optic something. And then Dr. Herman is blind. And I, like, almost expected Amelia to be upset and be like, I didn't do my job. And instead, like, to recognize that, like, she did do her job, and what she did was incredible, and they're a superhero. I was like, that's a really good perspective, because she's right. Like, she's alive.
Yep.
And that's all that matters.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I think it is a little surprising too. I was, like, waiting for her to be super upset, and I think she was at first, but obviously she, like, came to terms. And so, it was a great ending. It was a great two episodes. I miss the times when something would build up this much in a Grey's episode, you know, like, to such an intense episode. It just feels like it's been a while. I guess Meredith's court case was one of the last times that I feel there's been, like, a major buildup.
Yeah.
Obviously, I guess this whole season that's currently on.
Yeah, but But that's true. But yeah, I thought it was, I really enjoyed these episodes.
Also wild that they spent this much time on a character that's only on for one season.
I know, but it was just such a good story.
I mean, it's like Dr. Thomas. To me, it feels almost on par. Like Dr. Thomas made me cry more because it's Christina and he's an old cute man and he's Mr. Feeny. But like, it feels similarly impactful as the Dr. Thomas storyline.
Well, and I think it also like shaped and shifted. It like was a vehicle for both Amelia and Arizona, you know, for characters to grow.
Absolutely. And it sucks that Arizona's not on the show anymore.
I know. It really
does. It sucks to put that much time and effort into a character and then they're not there.
I know.
I still don't understand her departure. Like, I still think she could have been on the show, but that's another discussion for another day.
Yeah, when we get to that episode.
Yeah. All right, notes and trivia?
Yeah, sorry, I was yawning. Woo!
I was like, what, are you there? All right, this episode's title originated from the song Staring at the End of Our Lives, originally sung by Ha Ha Tonka.
The episode scored 7.56 million viewers. That's like way down, I feel like.
It's streaming, dude. Mm. I'm going to skip the dates because no one cares about those. Nicole's scans show during Amelia's presentation are actually scans of Gina Davis's brain, albeit with the tumor digitally added to it later, which is Nicole Herman.
Isn't it albeit?
Albeit. Yeah, I don't know how to say that word. Segu.
Segu. Well, Dr. Herman had a panic attack while wearing the mask. Gina Davis didn't mind wearing the mask at all. Okay.
She must have some kinks. Okay, this episode marks the first time Sophia is seen on screen in season 11.
This episode is only the fourth time in the entire show's history to have a guest star do the voiceover. The other three were Denny Duquette in Stairway to Heaven, Maggie Pierce in Puzzle with a Piece Missing, and Alice Gray partially in Only Mama Knows.
That's crazy. Like, it's crazy that Derek hasn't done one yet. I mean, I know he will. It's also crazy that, like, Burke never did one, you know?
No, to have a guest star.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, this episode's title originated from the song The Distance, originally sung by Cake.
This one scored more, 8.09 million viewers.
This episode marks the return of April Kepner, who did not appear in the last two episodes because the actress Sarah Drew had her baby.
This episode features a special opening title card with the incision from Nicole's surgery displayed across it.
Okay, that was cool. I liked this one.
Okay, I want to say, like, what is going on this season? Why are there all these weird opening and closing title cards? Like, what are they doing? This is the only season I feel like they, like, do a different one every time. And it's driving me crazy.
That one was dope. That one was cool, though.
All right.
Also, I didn't realize they would cut in such a zigzaggy fashion.
Wild.
According to the date on a prop, this episode starts on March 2nd, 2015. Wow, almost exactly 6 years ago.
Wow. The impossible spinal tumor, which Richard said Derek had operated on, happened in Give Peace a Chance.
Meredith mentions that when you take a tumor as big as Herman's out of the brain, everything moves like a mudslide or an earthquake. Both of these things happened in an episode of the show. The mudslide happened in Seal Our Fate, and the earthquake happens in the next episode.
Ooh, that's so wild. How many natural disasters they have had on this show. Ben says, we're not in Kansas anymore. Oh, really? Which is a reference to the movie The Wizard of Oz.
Goof, during Callie and Arizona's conversation, it's said that Callie made life support decisions for Mark. That is untrue because Mark was shown to make those decisions himself when he had the temporary surge.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, Catherine Fox Award. We have three nominees. I'm just saying that because I can't imagine you'd pick a different one other than maybe Stephanie Edwards. But Amelia Shepherd, Nicole Herman, Arizona Robbins. Who the fuck do we give it to?
Oh, this is hard. Let's make an argument. Or you could put Richard Weber on there too. You really could.
He could, but I don't think he should get it.
No, I don't either. I mean, part of me feels like Amelia because she saved Dr. Herman.
Right.
But part of me also thinks Dr. Herman because she actually went to Amelia when, like, she needed the scan. And, like, she helped build this incredible surgery. She, like, moved into the hospital, and now Arizona, she is blind now, and so she can't do surgery, and now Arizona has all of that knowledge, so...
Yeah, I want to give it to Nicole Herman, if that's one of your nominees, because I just think, like, she did so much work prepping for this when she could have just been like, I'm going to die, so I don't want to do anything. Like,
Yeah, I want to give it to her. She's never in an episode again. So
yeah, I think I feel good about that.
Awesome. I rated an 8.5. I really enjoyed them. And I don't know, it was fun to watch like two in a row that all went together.
Yeah, I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to do 9 out of 10 scalpels.
Woohoo! Love it. Just love to see it.
Love to see it. I just really enjoyed it. Okay, well, don't forget that if you are a $10 patron, stick around. We're going to have post-op about the superhero pose. Otherwise...
Bree just typed scallops. Bree typed 9 out of 10 scallops.
I'm very, very hungry. Wait, it's spelled the same way above, too.
No. L-T-E-S.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
I mean, that's not how you spell scallops.
I would really like some seafood right now. That's all I'm saying.
I'll change it. I'll change it. I just did spell check and it actually made it to scallops as in the food. So we'll just keep it with that.
Yeah. So I give it 9 out of 10 scallops and I give it 10 out of 10 mussels. So there we go.
All right, stick around, and thanks again for listening. Don't forget to find us on patreon.com/theoncallroom. Time of death is 2022. Beep.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.